Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, all, and welcome back to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. We have another show in order for you, obviously, and another good one, obviously. And we've got, I'm sure, some Jonna conundrums. Is that how you put it, Jonna?
I think it should be guaranteed.
To talk about this week.
Oh, you mean you guys want to make light of the fact that I am dying? Okay, sure. Yeah.
Oh, no. What is it this week?
Oh, God.
Well,
You didn't go to WebMD, did you?
I didn't want to. No, it's worse than a pimple. It's worse than WebMD. I didn't really want to break this news to you on the air, but I guess if I must, I must.
Okay, go with the drama. Go ahead.
So did I tell you guys I had to get a physical for life insurance? And sidebar, do you know that when you get a physical for life insurance, the physical comes to you? You don't have to go to the doctor's office.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
It's a hack. Which reminds me, it's a hack that I would like, Carol, when we write a book together, I want to write a book called A-Hole Hacks. These are all hacks that are that work, but are really annoying to other people. So like if I apply for life insurance every 6 months so I can get a physical come to me instead of me going to the physical with no intention of buying the insurance, that would be an a-hole hack. And that's a
okay.
Just keep that in the back of your pretty little mind. Okay. So I had a physical and the physical is like what you usually do at a doctor's office. They took blood, had a pee in a cup. They did an EKG, all this stuff and blood pressure. And while the nurse was here, so it's bad enough that while she was here, like you can't know what your blood's going to reveal or anything like that. But when she takes the blood pressure, you obviously get that result right away. And it was bad enough that my blood pressure was so low, one would think I was related to a sloth. It was like super duper low, which is odd because you guys know me. I tend to like stress out from time to time. Like I'm not exactly what people would call chill or anything like that.
No, good point.
Right. So I was concerned about that. And the nurse, assured me that, nope, it was, even though it was low, it was normal low and yada, yada, yada. Okay, fine. So I lived a few more days and I finally got the results of the rest of it. The blood results and stuff.
Okay.
And as it turns out, like I mentioned at the top, I'm dying.
Oh God. What?
Now, should I get you a card now? Like flowers? Should I send something to mom and dad?
Oh, then yeah, because then she can appreciate them.
No, good point. Yeah, it's,
Well, plus I don't know how much longer I have because apparently I'm like a heart attack waiting to happen.
Why?
I have, and this is unbelievable, high cholesterol.
How high?
Well, if the high that you're supposed to not be over is 200... is like the max that you should have.
Yep.
I am my age over that. Not my real age, my 29
age. Okay. All right. Yep. Okay.
Hold
That's
on.
That's quite a bit of math. Yeah.
Jonna math. Hold on a sec.
Okay. But how is your ratio HDL to LDL? Because that's key too.
So that is my question. Now, this is the part. 7 years of higher education. I went to law school because I suck at math. I don't really understand this whole cholesterol formula, but I will say this. So it said that my cholesterol was, I'm just going to say it, 229, which is like unbelievable, but that my good cholesterol was high and my bad cholesterol was low. But I don't get how that works together there. I don't understand.
Well, I'm no nurse, but I know that the ratio, the relative nature of the two to each other is also a key factor in addition to it being high. So if it were high, your ratio was not good, you'd probably be in more danger land than you are. And I don't think you're in danger land.
And Carol, I just got to tell you, by the way, I'm pretty impressed.
With?
You just dropped all that stuff like boom. Like it's like front of mind. Like, you know, this I'm going, I don't even know what the acronym is that you just dropped. I lost you after the first H.
Well, I go for annual blood tests and mine is similar to what you have. And
we're skinny minis.
I know, exercise on a regular basis.
Well, yep. And you haven't stroked out yet. So that's a good
stroked out. Yeah. And my doctor who ordered the tests was like, yeah, it could be a little bit lower, but I'm not that worried about it. I'm glad that the ratio. So anyway, I.
And if it makes you feel any better there, Spielberg, I haven't stroked out yet either. And I'm in a similar boat because I do this every 6 months for the endocrinologist. And I've got the good high and the bad low or the good low good. Or the whatever, something like that.
I'm high good and low bad.
Yeah, I'm in the same cutback on the mayonnaise boat that you are. I mean, I'm good.
All right. But OK, now we're friends. So just let me say what I'm going to say here. I have a suspicion that your diet and my diet are vastly different.
You're talking to Frankenberry right now or me?
No, Frankenberry.
She's talking to me.
Yeah, I think Carol and I might actually have similar diets. But Frankenberry, you eat stuff that I have not put in my pie hole in a long, long time. Fatty stuff.
Not a lot of it. I mean, I'm going to guess that neither of you started your day with a bologna sandwich for breakfast, but I mean, I don't overdo it.
I do love a bologna sandwich, though.
Whoa.
I haven't had them all the time or for breakfast, but I do love them.
And yes, I do, you know, enjoy my Chef Boyardee beefaroni on occasion.
Yum. Bingo. Bingo. You make him a point. yeah. So isn't that funny that, so how can two people, so there's got to be more than diet to it. If two people can have vastly different diets and similar deadly high cholesterol, walking time bombs, there's got to be more to it than food.
Well, how much water do you drink?
I drink a lot of water in the form of coffee, wine, and margaritas.
Well, you see, now that's where you and I are also not similar, because I go through at least like 8 cans of seltzer water every day.
Yes, you do. And that's a good thing. I think seltzer's good for you.
Yes. And I think it probably helps, quote unquote, clean you out a little bit.
Now, don't you think, Carol, isn't red wine supposed to be good for your cholesterol?
In moderation.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Now, there are good elements to it. But I'm just sitting here debating whether to drop the other shoe on you.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Because you know what? I don't have that much longer. That's right.
She doesn't have much time, Carol. Get to it now. Read the glowing obituary to her right now.
I'm glad we're not in the studio together, because you can't slap me or throat punch me. But when I discovered my cholesterol was above the range that is preferred and also had a healthy ratio of HDL to LDL, my doctor who ordered the tests, who wasn't concerned about it, did say if I cut back on drinking alcohol, it would probably come down more so than the food being a factor. Sorry.
Well, screw that noise. I ordered some red yeast.
Screw that noise.
I'm not doing that. So there's something like red rice yeast is supposed to like do the trick. Did you know about that?
Nope, but I'm writing it down.
Because you know what? If I'm going to drop dead of a heart attack, I can't drop dead of a heart attack and be jonesing for some nice Pinot Noir. Like, let me go happy. Right? God, if you're going to take me happy. Dang.
Red rice yeast.
Red rice yeast.
Well, how is it that you are, and I'm not saying this facetiously at all, how is it you are such an expert on supplements? Because you are.
Thank you. Thank you for recognizing the chairwoman on supplements. I am an expert on supplements because I take about 1,000 a day. And I don't do that haphazardly. I spent, I'm practically a doctor. And
of course you are.
I spent a ton of time researching these things And on top of that, I have the added bonus of, and I'll give a shameless plug to this person. My mother's bestie is a nutritionist who owns a health food store, The Health Connection. And she seriously, she's like better than a doctor. Like she can take your blood, look at your blood and figure out everything you need. And then she's got it all there. Like she fixes stuff. She has fixed people. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this because I don't want to. She's fixed major, major illnesses. All the illnesses that these supplements say, hey, this isn't to fix an illness. Well, some of them actually fix illnesses. And she knows.
Well, yeah, because they can't claim it, but some actually work.
Right. Some actually work.
Is that how you learned about the red rice yeast?
That's how I learned about the red rice yeast. And yes, and a whole crap load of other things. And knock on wood, you know, for a person who's a walking time bomb, I feel fantastic.
Well, and you look fantastic.
Well,
you really do.
But I do. But for like, I don't sleep anymore. I feel good. I have energy. I'm good.
So wait, I want to come back to something else on the supplement side, but before I do, we're going to have to do this off air because it might take a while. I want a list of all of your beauty enhancing procedures because I might put some of them on my Christmas list.
Procedures or supplements or both?
Procedures. I'll take all of it because you look
girl,
amazing.
I got you.
Can you imagine, dear Santa? Botox on the eyebrows, lip injections, cheek implants.
Yeah. Well, no, so you don't have to get any implants, but I will give you the list. All right. Let's make a deal right here on the air.
Okay. What?
I will give you the list. Mm-hmm. I will even give you the doctor that you should go to.
Yep.
But you should let me come with you for one of the most painful procedures.
No.
I can record it.
Is that when they put 1,000 needles in your face?
Yes.
And why do you want to be there for it?
No, she wants you to record it.
I want to record it so that we could get drunk and then play it and laugh.
Oh, that'll be a riot. What's wrong with you?
Because, Carol, you have to remember, Jonna drama plays better when you can actually see it.
How long does it take them to prick your face with painful needles?
Oh, if you do that procedure, now that is called the radiofrequency facial. It takes about 45 minutes.
Oh, God.
And it's the longest 45 minutes of your life. Now, you can get laughing gas, like they'll give you laughing gas, which everybody else on the planet, according to my doctor, does, except for me. I've never taken a pill, got nothing like that. I do it bareback, which makes me a freak. And they all look at me like, you really are a freak, because it hurts like heck. But it actually will build collagen and makes you younger and younger for a long time. Like it continues to work. So it's the 45 minutes of sheer unadulterated pain. Like I'd rather have my eyeballs popped out and, and my head in a vice. It is actually worth it in the long run.
Right. All because right. 45 minutes later, you're 15 years old again. Very nicely done.
Yeah. And you look like a tomato and it hurts for a little while. And they do numb your face. Like
how long do you look like a tomato?
A few hours.
Oh, that's okay. That's it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm putting that on my list. Craig's been asking what I want for Christmas.
Oh, that's a good one.
You're going to have to send me the rest of the list, okay? Because I know that's not it. And I don't mean that, I mean that honestly, because you openly talk about it and I admire how you look.
Carol, you're gonna have to explain all of this to Craig, by the way, because you can't ask him for a present for Christmas that says, hey, Craig, I want 45 minutes of pain and to look like a tomato for 2 hours. You know,
the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So back to supplements. You failed to mention when you were sharing the story about your blood pressure being so low that your daily sustenance are beet chews. Can we talk about beet chews?
Yeah. So that's another thing. It's got to be the culprit. So back to that. So my blood pressure was, I'll tell you what it was. My blood pressure was 90 over 60 or 90 over 62, which is very, very low. And actually any lower than that is probably not good. But she assured, I think 90 over 60 is like the lowest range that you would have. And then she took it a couple more times and it was 90 over 65 and 90 over 68. So I have for a very long time, if you've ever heard of Super Beets, I eat them like candy because they taste like candy. Like that's one of the other things with supplements. They probably shouldn't make them like candy if you're only supposed to have a couple a day. And so they must work. I mean, in an odd way, I'm a walking testimonial because my blood pressure has never been that low. I mean, it's always been normal, but this is lower than normal for me.
So these things, these beet chews, which by the way should be delivered to me today, are you saying they're fail proof? Boom! Nailed it.
Very good. Yeah. Mic drop, Carol. Mic drop.
You totally did. Yeah. Only you. Yeah. So as a matter of fact, isn't it funny you should say, because our guest today has written a book with that exact title.
Who'da thunk?
Who would have thunk? And want to hear something else. So this is really interesting on a number of levels. We're going to be talking, when we come back from the break, with Alex Weber. Now, you may recognize his name because Alex is an American Ninja Warrior. And I used to freaking love that show. And this is another odd thing. A couple of weeks ago, we had a guest on who just by chance happened to be from Poughkeepsie. Well, apparently, Alex is from the Hudson Valley again.
Oh, no. Wow.
I know. So we have another local connection, but he's written a book called Fail Proof, How to Be the, Fail Proof, Become the Unstoppable You. I cannot wait to dive into this book with him because look, you know what? Fear of failure is probably the main thing that holds anybody who wants to do anything back. And I think we can tackle that when we come back with author and American Ninja Warrior, Alex Weber.
All right, that sounds good. That Alex Weber is on the way. We'll get to America Ninja Warrior-ing.
You know what else is on the way? You know what else is on the way?
Go ahead.
Well, the red yeast rice. It's not red rice. It's red yeast rice.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Oh, red yeast rice, not red rice yeast. Okay.
Correct. You were close enough where I found it, and it's on the way.
All right. Sounds awesome. Good. Well, that is on the way, and hopefully John is still with us when we come back. for John Spillmore and Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry. This is Happy Hour, and we will return.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everybody, to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci and myself. And it's time now to get to our guest, and we're going to get to Alex Weber today. And Jonna, you have our usual glowing introduction.
I really do, because, and I'm not being corny, but this guest has put the happy in Happy Hour because I am thrilled that we have. I'll tell you how I found. So we're going to be talking with Alex Weber. Now,
can I interrupt for a second? Because you and I both have weird names and we get mispronounced a lot. Is it Weber or Weber?
It's Weber. You want to know how I know?
Yeah,
I'll tell you how I know. Because our listeners know that we don't really have a team of bookers, that we are our own bookers, which also makes us stalkers. And I listened to a show on Sirius called Jeff Lewis Live. You remember Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out?
Yep.
I'm a big fan of it. He's got a radio show. And I'm a big fan. Alex was recently a guest on that show. And as I was driving home one night, I'm like, I got to get this guy. And so I know his name is Alex Weber because that's what Jeff Lewis was calling him, unless just Jeff Lewis was also wrong, but we'll find out in a second. So Alex Weber is an American Ninja Warrior, which, by the way, was one of my favorite shows. And he's also, on top of being an award-winning entrepreneur and American Ninja Warrior, he has recently penned a book entitled Fail Proof, Become the Unstoppable You. And he, of all people, knows how to be unstoppable because in addition to being an in-demand keynote speaker and award-winning host and competing alongside elite athletes, you gotta admit, when people work with elite athletes, you're on a whole different level. Alex has been awarded the U.S. Lacrosse Coach of the Year honors and holds a world record and competed in World Championship of Lacrosse, finishing as a top scorer in the world. Now, you take all that knowledge and life experience and you put it into a book, everyone's going to want to pick it up. So, Alex Weber, we're assuming, welcome to Happy Hour.
Oh my gosh. Thank you both so much for having me. And you nailed it. It is Weber. And I'm so thrilled to be joining you.
We are so thrilled to be having you. And like I said, I did find you. You're all over the place. I mean, you've got a lot of, you're pretty well connected. And I recently heard you on Jeff's show, which was a great time. And I loved listening to you speak. And I know we're going to be talking about your book, but part of your resume includes being a public speaker. I can totally understand why. So let's sort of take it from the top. I mean, and maybe later we can talk about how you became an American Ninja Warrior, but what inspired this book? It's your first book, Fail Proof, Become the Unstoppable You. What's the inspiration?
I appreciate that. And you know what? They kind of do go hand in hand. You know, it was something where it first came on my radar of maybe I'd want to write a book, which I think is a thought that comes sometimes passes through our heads. And, you know, we talked about Hudson Valley a little bit. I grew up there and I was in creative writing classes. I just always loved writing. I was also hockey and lacrosse. And so I kind of joked that I'm an artsy jock. I kind of had both those sides of me going on. And what really brought this to the surface was, you know, I had some chapters of life, whether that was playing D1 lacrosse or winning U.S. Lacrosse Coach of the Year and then TV hosting. And really, when I started competing on American Ninja Warrior, that's what brought this to life is, okay, I think this may be the time to do it. And really, it was because I was just failing so often when I was really diving in the deep end with American Ninja Warrior. And then I started to notice that these fails that were happening on these big grand scales, everything's big with Ninja Warrior. So they were high up, you're flinging off something, you're tweaking things. Everything's intense. But then I would notice that I would also have these fails in my personal life. I'd have a miscommunication with someone. I'd miss a turn. I'd get jealous about someone else being farther along. And I'd start to notice other people were having these same micro fails. And that's what really fired me up to write the book, is not only about the big fails that happen in our lives, but these little ones that happen each day.
That is, I love that was your inspiration, because I think when we think about failure, right, the first phrase that comes to mind is people will say, oh, well, so-and-so has a fear of failure. I have a fear of failure. And first of all, I don't really even know what that means. Like, I get that we all kind of nobody wants to fail. Failure is something that we look at as a bad thing. But I actually think failing can help you succeed, because it teaches you, among other things, what not to do to get where you want to go. Or am I completely off with that?
No, you nailed it.
Nailed it.
Oh, there she goes.
100%. Absolutely nailed it. It's, you know, so failing is doing with judgment, but judgment can be rough. And so often, I mean, what you said is spot on of we learn what we need to do better. But what I've found is so often in life, we will go to attempt something and it doesn't really go great, or we don't really feel like we have the skill set, or it's just not a personality trait that we feel like we have. And so we just kind of put up a wall that's not possible for us. You know, maybe that was something that occurred as we were growing up or in a chapter of our life, or maybe it's something that someone told us, you're not creative, you're not athletic, you're not capable of starting your own business or whatever it might be. And so we kind of take that on as truth. And what I've found is all of these are just opinions, and a lot of these opinions suck. And so the best way to prove these opinions wrong is actually just doing it. But we need to take out that judgment piece.
Which is so completely hard to do. I mean, a lot of people, how can we inspire people to even get to that point? And what I mean is, some people can be so catatonic from fear that they don't take any action at all, because the staying stuck, I guess, is less bad than the prospect of failing. How is there a way to encourage people to get past that hurdle?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I want to say that there's judgment is kind of a nuanced thing, because we do want to evaluate and learn, you know, but it's really talking to your fear. So if we have a big fear around, or a big concern or doubt around doing something, I would simply ask, talk to your fear. We're all talking to ourselves anyways. You might as well, you know, have a conversation with your fear and just be like, what are you fearful of? What is the doubt here? What is the concern? And, you know, I'll put it into my own life right now. You know, I wrote the book and I've kind of noticed this about myself. I'm good at going to work. I can go and lock myself away and do all the writing and do all the edits. But then when it was time, you know, the publisher was like, hey, you should send this to, you know, authors you admire and that you know, and maybe they would read it. And I was like, oh no, I can't do that. I cannot do that. And I had to honestly look at that and be like, why is this so tough for me? And really the truth was, I found out, it was like, oh, I don't want to bother Josh. I don't want to bother Heather. And I was like, well, gosh, that's not the most powerful reason when I think about what this means to me and what it can mean to other people. And why I say that is, if we actually get really clear on what is the concern here, okay, I might be a little embarrassed, or one of our friends might say some, you know, snide remarks. I have a friend like that. Like, you know, when you have a friend who you're like, if I
had me too,
I would not. What'd you say?
Me too. He's making fun of me.
Yep. Keep going. Sorry. Couldn't resist. Listen,
I found those friends have a big heart, but you know, sometimes you like to talk a little trash. And sometimes though, let's say you want to do something and that friend is talking trash, or you know that if you do it, they might make fun of you, or they might say snide remarks. That very well may happen. But if we also get clear on why the heck we want this goal for ourselves, I bet that reason is much more powerful than dealing with Craig saying a silly comment.
Funny choice of names.
Oh, no, I say Craig.
No, that's my husband. Because... No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. So,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, we got to have a talk with Craig.
No, it's all good. You know, I've started reading your book, Alex, and I'm loving it so far. In fact, I downloaded the Kindle sample. I'm like, boop, I want more. And I went and I bought it. So I'm really anxious to dig in, because you start out with a very different premise. There's millions of self-help books out there. I've read, and John and I probably read 80% of them. And they're all like the how-to, do this. And yours is it to a certain extent, but you take it one step behind that, which I think is the foundation to say that your success is not necessarily about your intelligence or the resources that you have available. It's about building that courage muscle, because we play small. And I know I'm totally guilty of this. We play small. We don't take action because of our fear. And what your book is actually helping people do is be open to that failure, because you will build your courage muscle, and in turn, you build your self-esteem. Am I right?
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, it's so amazing.
I appreciate you saying that. You know, it's, you know, I'm so in it that I'm like, oh gosh, I wonder if this is going to communicate well. And I appreciate you saying that. And you nailed it. And what I love about what you said is it's a muscle. And
yeah.
I've just felt that. I've felt that so much. I mean, I remember when I first started doing stand-up comedy, I did stand-up comedy for 5 years. And it
was
just—
That takes courage.
Yeah. And it was this dream that I had, and this happens for all of us. And it doesn't always need to be these massive dreams like climb Mount Everest. Sometimes it's just something little that we might just want in our life, but for whatever reason, life is busy. And so we've just locked it away and we've put it on a shelf and we said someday, someday. And that was what stand-up comedy was for me. And I remember finally I had that moment of what I call brave honesty, which was just, I really want this in my life. And so I tried it and I was brutal. I was brutal.
Ouch.
But it's a muscle, just like anything. Everything is learnable. And what I found was all those feelings that, you know, me getting super nervous or having sweating a ton and all these things, they do start to subside because we're getting that muscle stronger. And even if they don't subside, we have that ability to just know, like, yeah, you always do this. Like, now if I get really nervous, I'm like, well, you always get really nervous, but like, it's okay. I had a big talk the other day and I was nervous, but it's not a unfamiliar feeling. And that is really the power and the strength of it, is not trying to avoid all these feelings or block them out. We're human. But just to build up our strength in knowing that we can handle it.
That you really struck a chord with me with that, because as you were speaking about stand-up comedy, like in my mind, the movie that goes through my head is, I remember I've been practicing law for, you know, a few years. And back in the beginning, even when I used to do TV back in the beginning, my voice would get a couple octaves higher because I couldn't even get the breath in to like get out of my diaphragm. It was like crazy. And I hated that. Every time I got off camera or I left a courtroom where I had something nervous happen, I'd walk out and say, I never want that to happen again. And it took I had to train myself to talk myself into not feeling those feelings. Like, how would I act if I wasn't nervous? How would I act if I wasn't afraid of being wrong or making the wrong argument? And that spun it around. And now I can just talk out of my butt freely. I don't even care. I do it all the time and it doesn't bother me a bit, but that is actually success in what I do.
Yeah. Butt talk will be the other show that you'll start doing soon. Yeah.
But it does look like so, but you have to go there in order to get over that. And if you never go there, I say you're never going to get over that kind of fear. And the fear will really hold you back. I don't care whether you're a lawyer, a TV host, a ninja warrior, anything. You've got to get over that.
Yeah.
And Alex, what you've done in your book, like the premise of what we're talking about here, that courage will lead to your ultimate success, being willing to fail, not being afraid of failure. But so that's the big picture. But you actually break it down into six steps for people. Like, here's step one, step two. Can we talk about where people begin? Someone's listening right now and they're like, they know they've got aspirations. They feel there's more in them than what they've exhibited and accomplished so far. And we're striking a nerve with them that their own self-doubt or fear is holding them back. Where do you begin? What's step one?
Yeah, and that's so important. And really, it's so I talk a lot about in the book of goals that actually matter, because so much of life doesn't matter. If we just zoom out one layer, it doesn't. But this is a hectic time to live. It's very busy. It's very noisy. We got a lot of pressure and obligations and bills, and our phones are buzzing. So I would encourage someone just to, I call it explore, just think, what might you want? What might you want? And we know the answer. You know the answer of what you want. It's just might be buried under layers of, you know, a little doubt, a little busyness, a little avoidance. But if we actually look at it with some brave honesty, that answer is going to pop up. It's going to be very clear of, you know what, I really want this. Yep. Whatever that might be. And one little nuance is I encourage people to look at three different places. So look at your career, look at your relationships, which is friends and family, romantic, and then also just you living your life. And then this is the biggest unlock of making it real, which is make it real. That is step two. Is so if you're listening right now, whatever it might be, okay, let's toss out, you know what, I would love to, I would just love to, you know, I've never done a CrossFit class. Okay, cool. Great. Or you want to lose a little weight, or you want to reignite a relationship that maybe you've lost touch with. Let's just use the CrossFit example, because of course I'm jockey. I love sports and fitness and all that. But I'll also say, and this is important, I am now an American Ninja Warrior. I played Division I lacrosse in the Ivy League. Between those two chapters of very elite athletics was about 3 years where I was very overweight. I referred to myself as a former athlete. I was depressed. I didn't work out. I was eating and drinking pretty much everything. And so I just say that to say, I understand what it's like to take the foot off the gas and get out of the car and not sure if you can get back in. So right now, if the answer that you want to do is, okay, I want to get a little bit more fit, make it real. What could you do today? It doesn't need to be running a marathon today. Maybe it's simply walking to the end of the block. Or, and this is the biggest one, sign up for that class. Just sign up for that class, because now there's accountability. Now it's in motion. And what's so beautiful about that is momentum is real. And so if you walk to the end of the block today, if you go to that class next week, the ball is rolling. And it will grow. The biggest thing is just to get it out of that damn shelf locked away and get it into the world.
Momentum is real. I'm putting that on a t-shirt. That is really cool. And that makes it easier for people. Like if you're listening right now and you think, oh, this, what I want to do is just so big and damn, you know, monumental. One step at a time, like literally take one piece of it and do that. And then take another piece and add it on to that.
Exactly.
It's almost like reinforcing trust in yourself.
Yeah. That's exactly. And that's such a beautiful point because it is what, you know, so I've bailed on myself before. You know, I had that voice of doubt kind of chirp up and say, no, let's not go after that. Let's not, whatever it might be. And we all know that feeling. You know, the classic might be, oh, you saw someone attractive and you wanted to ask them out and you didn't. And then we're kicking ourselves the rest of the day, right? So momentum is real and it goes in both ways. And what I found is, oh gosh, regret is rough. And if we build this trust in ourselves of, you know what, whatever happens, happens, but at least we showed up, we committed to ourselves. That really is a beautiful confidence builder.
Yeah. And confidence is key. And I don't want to change the subject, but I know we're going to have to wrap up here soon. And I have a question that's off topic that I'm just dying to know. And that is, what was the worst obstacle on American Ninja Warrior? Like the one you dreaded, like the one you thought you were going to die on. Like, what was that?
Love that. Well, so a quick little background. I began hosting, I was a host for American Ninja Warrior, NBC. I hosted this new all-access series, and they thought it'd be fun if part of the series would be me getting up on the obstacles and comedically failing on them. So for 2 years, I failed my face off on every obstacle, but then I fell in love and became a competitor actually succeeding on the course.
Wow.
Now, when I was hosting, the first year, we kind of celebrated all the fails. The second year, the producers kind of thought it'd be fun if I started to get good at it, even though this was impossible for me. So why I say that is one of the worst ones was, you know, we're in the middle of these huge cities, you know, like Atlanta, and all the athletes are there, all these athletes that I admire, hundreds of athletes, all the crew, the producers, the TV cameras, the fans are in the audience. So there's a lot of people watching. And I got up on this obstacle and I didn't even have the strength to get onto the obstacle to then fail. They're like, Alex,
oh my God,
we're filming, time to get on the obstacle and you know, you'll probably fail. And I'm like, I can't even grab this thing because I don't even have the strength to get on it. It was very humbling. I say in the book, to fail before you fail was a humbling moment.
That is too funny. And I will say this, I'm not nearly as athletic as you, but watching that show always made me feel like I could do that. Like there's no way I could do that. But it made me feel
Johnna, like, you're part ninja already.
Well, I'm ninja, that's for sure. But I also don't want to break a nail.
We're going to go work out. We're going to go to a ninja gym in Hudson Valley.
All right. Challenge accepted. No cameras.
We'll see. I think your listeners will want it.
Yeah. My listeners, my co-hosts will want it.
Yeah.
And Johnna, you were talking earlier about how you wanted us to videotape you getting your face all prickled with
face improving stuff. Not my face. She wants my face radio frequency facial pricked.
Yeah, well, I think going to a CrossFit gym or a ninja gym is going to be more painful for me than you getting your face needled up, but we'll see.
It sounds like a deal.
Yes, that does sound like a deal. This has been, I can't wait to dive into your book as well. I love the title. Did you come up with the title by yourself? Like, how'd that happen?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I wanted to do something around failing, and I love this word, unstoppable. And it just kind of came up fail-proof because, you know, the answer is not that we're not going to fail, but it's that it doesn't stop us.
Oh, I love it.
Exactly. Alex, this has been great. So listen, we're gonna wrap up with Alex Weber, who is the author of Fail Proof, Become the Unstoppable You. Alex, if people want to connect, because I know you do speaking, et cetera, if they want to buy the book, connect with you, how can they do that? What's the best way?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I do love speaking at companies and organizations, and that's, you know, you can reach out at my website, imalexweber.com, or any social media, I'm Alex Weber. And the book is on Amazon, And please do reach out if you buy it, because I have these communities. They're basically goal support groups, totally complimentary. And we just get each other's back to get to our goals.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. Me too. Well, I guess you're going to have two new members at least.
Let's go.
Alex Weber, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Again, we're wrapping up with Alex Weber, who is the author of Fail Proof, Become the Unstoppable You. This has been really fun. We're going to have to do it again. Let me know when I have to lace up for the gym.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Yes. And thank you, Alex, for joining us today. I appreciate it. And we appreciate it. And I just want to let you know, by the way, Alex, if it makes you feel any better, you're failing before you got a chance to fail. Me, I probably wouldn't even have been able to push open the door to the building. Okay, so you're good. You're good, my friend. So anyway, happy hour is not done yet. We've got more to come. Segment number three is on the way. So please come back with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And thank you one more time, Alex Weber, for joining us. This is 92.9, 96.5 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Frank and Mary.
Very nice. Very nicely boom. Done. Yes, yes. Not quite a boom, Jonna. But
yes, it maybe, was a boom.
You know, it was a light bang, but it was close. All right. And I got to say, Alex Weber was really fun and actually a really interesting guy because of everything that he's done.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And now we're friends with a ninja warrior.
Damn straight.
That was really cool. And I love the premise of the book. I love anything like that because, you know, people, I don't know how many times I've heard, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And I actually can't stand that question because whenever I get that question, I'm like, well, but you're going to fail. So,
right.
And it's one of those things where if you could really get past, like, failing is not a bad thing. So it's silly to say, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Because failing can actually help you. And it makes going for it a lot easier if you're not afraid to fail. So, I mean, I just think that was kind of a genius premise. I will also say that one of the things I would do if I knew I could not fail is something that I almost bought on Facebook for $1,200.
Oh my God.
And that is, I stopped myself. I almost bought a course to teach me how to get ready for this.
Oh no. I'm sitting down.
Become a muggapreneur.
Oh, wait. What?
Yes.
Mugga?
A mugga. A muggapreneur.
What is that?
Is somebody who, as a side hustle, which can turn into a full-time gig, creates and sells mugs online. You can make millions selling mugs online.
Now, and there's a million people selling mugs online.
I know that's part of the problem.
So what's the formula? They're selling it. You literally saw a program you could buy for $1,200 to teach you how to get rich selling mugs.
Yes. And I came this close. Yes.
That is one serious scam going on right there. I'm glad you held yourself back.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, okay, you're looking for a last minute gift. You go on Amazon. You type in gifts for grads. You're going to see a whole bunch of mugs like, oh, best grad or, you know, love my grad or whatever. People are buying that crap. Now, if this guy can make hundreds of thousands of dollars off of like five different mugs, why can't we?
What would your first mug say, Jonna?
What would my first mug say?
Yeah.
My first mug would say, well, see, I'd have to copy the mug that Frankenberry gave me because I would want to do a whole series on Inside Out A-holes. That's what I would do. I'd start there. I could do a whole series of divorce-related mugs. I could do a whole series of hypochondria mugs.
Yeah, that you could definitely do.
I could do a whole series.
Oh, I finish this before I die.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the bottom, inside, Jonna, it could say, you made it.
You're still breathing.
But did you die? No, I know. So I think I just got to figure out a workaround so that I can figure out how he does it without spending $1,200 to figure it out. What do you think?
Well, my guess is that you would be able to figure it out a lot easier than spending $1,200, Jonna. I have a feeling it's probably not all that difficult.
But if somebody's got the formula.
It's a $1,200 formula, Carol. It's not worth it.
If it works.
Well, his formula works for him. He's making $1,200 off your butt.
Jonna, you still with us? We get so close. Well, we had a nice pause there, so you can cut this out.
Yeah.
Thought she was being a little too quiet.
Yeah, she's never that quiet. unless, of course, she was telling the truth earlier. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. She kicked the bucket. Hang on. Let me text her, see if she's still alive.
She's jumping back in here. I just saw her picture pop back up.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh,
there you are.
Yeah, I'm not.
Frank and Barry cracked a great joke that maybe you actually did kick the bucket.
Yeah, because Carol goes, I thought Jonna wasn't there because she's never that quiet. And I said, no, of course, she's never that quiet. I said, unless, of course, she was telling the truth.
Well, I'm still here.
So you got to the bottom of the mug that said, you made it. You're still breathing.
Oh, God.
So anyway, Spielborg, you're back. We're glad.
Thank you. Yes, I did not die. So anyway, I don't know when the universe decided to mess with me right there. But anyway, what I was saying is I have spent a ton of money on a whole host of courses that I have never, not a single time, logged in for even 30 seconds. So that's why.
So why stop now?
Just another $1,200 drop in the bucket.
But think about how a nice little side hustle that would be. Just putting whatever you wanted on a mug and have them selling like hotcakes as you sleep.
I don't know. Trip. How big are mugs on QVC at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Not big at all.
Yeah, Jonna, how are they?
Not big at all. But, you know, listen, Linda, there's something to this mug business, right? You ain't heard the last of me about this. I'm just saying.
I'm sure we haven't. And I'm sure we haven't heard the last of you dying.
Now that we're talking about it, I'm sure it's going to show up in my feed.
Oh, yep. Yeah, it will.
I will screenshot it.
Text me when you do. Okay, good.
And Jonna, I hate to tell you this, but in the midst of that Alex Weber interview.
Yes.
I did keep a tally.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned Carol's brilliance twice and yours once. So she got you.
No, Jonna got her own. I think it was equal kudos.
No, she got the one. Believe me, I keep count on these things. You got two, Carol.
She got two.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. This elephant never forgets, okay?
That's right. Alex could be in trouble when you guys lace up those shoes together.
That's right. When I trapeze all over his ass.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst part is he won't have any idea why.
When I go for the radio frequency facial and I choose the laughing gas and you come along to videotape and you tell him, no, she really does not want the laughing gas, and who'll be laughing then?
I'm like, replace that with plain old oxygen. It'll be okay.
Just tell her it's laughing gas. Okay, ready? Roll. Oh, my God. Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think we are good there, ladies. So again, thank you very much to Alex Weber for joining us today. And for Jonna Spielborg and Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. And we will be back again. Next week will probably be a repeat because we've got Thanksgiving coming up. But we will be back again in a couple of weeks. So please join us again then, or just join us next week for whatever the repeat is, because it's just as good as all the rest.
That's true.
Indeed. All right. We'll be back. Thank you, ladies.
This is 92.9, 96.5 WBPM. You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spielborg and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.